And okay, let me just get a sip here. So some people are under the weather with the flu, some with the virus. Me, this is my season for my allergies. Much better than last year, as I've been saying, but you'll hear it in my voice. I'm sure it may come up again. All right. Pesach, Passover. There are a lot of things we think about when we think about Passover. One of the things that I hope you think about is that Adonai is the same from the past, today, and will still be the same in the future. In fact, a lot of scripture is actually just timeless. We read the Psalms of praise, and we shouldn't read these Psalms thinking in terms of tense, thinking in terms of past tense, hardly thinking in terms of future tense. It's just eternity. So let's take a look at one of the Psalms, Psalm 86. This is the psalm actually that we get Michamoka from. Listen to what Psalm 86, starting in verse 8, says. There is none like you among the gods, my Lord. There is no deeds like yours. All nations you have made will come and bow down before you, my Lord, and they will glorify your name. For you are great and do wonders. You alone our God. Adonai is God then, now, and forever. His deeds were great. His deeds that he's doing today are still great. And the deeds he's going to be doing are still going to be great. Nations continue to bow down to him. They bow down to him before. They bow down to him in the future. They bow down to him now. You say you don't see the nations bow down to him? I say I see many more nations bowing down to him now than before. The nations are coming back to him. We do not read these in terms of time. God is timeless. Adonai, he may know time, but he certainly is not ruled by time. And that's because he doesn't have that same kind of physical body that we do. And that's one reason why we don't make idols. It'd be easier, I think, it would be easier at times to stay focused if we had something to look at, right? An idol to look at. But he tells us, no, don't do that. Because then we'd be putting the same limitations on him that we put on ourselves or anything else that's made out of something physical. So, let me get back to Passover again, because this really does circle back around. We're told in Exodus 12:1 that Passover is the new year, something new starting. So let's take a look at Exodus 12:1-2. Now, Adonai spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month will mark the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year for you. So Passover not only points us to the past, but it also points us to the future, which will be new and different, but the same at the same time, because it's the same Adonai. It's the same salvation. It's the same love. It's the same mercy, right? Psalm 136 says his mercy is forever. In fact, you know, in Bibles, they have those little headings above sections. Well, the Tree of Life, the one that I normally read, says his chesed endures forever. His chesed, his love and mercy endures forever. Before Passover, the Hebrews were just a people. We were really just a people. We lived in someone else's land. But once we came out of Israel, out of Egypt, now we lived for Adonai. We became a nation. We were working for Pharaoh. Now we work for Adonai. So before Passover, we're reminded to remove the hummus, the yeast, or anything that rises, and some even say puffs up, which reminds us not just that the Israelite people left Egypt in a hurry, but it reminds us of the sin to bring out from us, to let go of all that stuff, to get rid of it, right? Just as we search our houses for all that little crumbs and all the things that have yeast in it, so we should be searching ourselves as well. This indicates the kind of change that we can go through. It's in this new year, a new change, a new you. You can go from someone living for the world to an individual living for Adonai, for his good and for his glory. Not only for his good and his glory, for our good, but still his glory. Now, there are other themes of Passover as we read through. You know, there are these, one of the recurring themes is the number four. We see this throughout the Passover story. Four cups that we drink from during the Seder. Four questions that are asked by the young child. There are four children we're told about when we read through the Haggadah: the wise, the evil, and the rebellious, the simple, and the one who didn't even know to ask. Four times we're told retell the Passover story in Exodus 12:26, Exodus 13:8, Exodus 13:14, and Deuteronomy 6:20. Four times. And then there's the passage, Exodus 6:6, which tells us the four things that Adonai will do. So let's take a quick look there. Exodus 6:6 and 7. Therefore, say to B'nai Israel, I am Adonai, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you to myself as a people, and I will be your God. You will know that I am Adonai, your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Four things the Lord says he's going to do and has done. Now, there are also even four names for this time of season for Passover. Chag HaPesach. I'm going to get this out. All right, give me a second. Chag HaPesach, the festival of Passover. Chag HaMazot, the festival of Mozart. No, not the festival of Mozart, the festival of Matzah. Chag HaAviv, the festival of spring. And Zimon Cherutenu, the time of our freedom. So there are four things all throughout the story of Passover. But there's another four things I want to bring out. And those are four things that have to be done with the Passover lamb. Because we're told to do these four things. Bring the lamb into the house. Get to know the lamb. Keep it in your house for 4 days. Kill the lamb. And then use the blood of the lamb to be saved by putting it on the doors and the lentils. And today, we still go through these four steps with our Passover lamb, Yeshua. So let's take a look at the scriptures and see what they tell us in Exodus 12 for each one of these four steps with the lamb. Let's look at the instructions and how to apply them ourselves, even today. So we need to bring the lamb in. The scripture tells us, bring us into our house. We bring it into our lives, into our hearts. Exodus 12, 3 through 5. Let's take a look there. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, Each man is to take a lamb for his family, one lamb for the household. But if the household is too small for the lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor are to take one according to the number of the people. According to each person eating, you are to make your count for the lamb. Your lamb is to be without blemish, a year-old male. You take it from the sheep or from the goats. This is not a normal thing to do. I have to admit, even back then, it wouldn't have been a normal thing to do, to bring a lamb into the house. Now, there are a couple of reasons for it, though. You know, sheep in Israel, their birthing season would be from December to January. So that lamb would have been a very young lamb when Passover starts. Bringing in the lamb is that first step to in faith. It's just like when you ask Yeshua into your heart. You're not really asking him to live there, but you're asking Yeshua to help. By having the Pesach lamb come into the house, it was not immediate salvation, but it was the first step in the process that would eventually, if completed correctly, could bring life to the people who are coming out of Egypt. This is the same with the acknowledgement of who Yeshua is. There are many who will state with their mouth that Yeshua is a great man, a mighty prophet, someone special, the eyes of Adonai, but do not go further than that. They don't proclaim him as their personal Messiah. Just as those that bring the lamb into the house, those that say Yeshua is special, are not saved yet. That's not the act of salvation just yet. It's the first step, but they're not there yet. Now there's a second step. So far we've brought the lamb in. We need to get to know the lamb in our hearts, not just in our minds. That's keeping the lamb in the house for the 4 days. Exodus 12:6 gives us this instruction. You must watch over it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to slaughter it at twilight. The lamb was to live with the family for 4 days. The verse says, watch over the lamb. Don't just bring it in and then ignore it. No, watch over the lamb while it was there. Don't minimize it. No, you're watching over it. It would become like a pet. Could you imagine this young lamb? You know, young animals have those big eyes. Could you imagine those big eyes looking at your children? What would your children do? It's going to fall in love with that lamb. Could you, the adults, by 4 days, you get used to it being there. It's now really become almost part of the family. Romans 10:9 says, for if you confess with your mouth that Yeshua is Lord, and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart it is believed for righteousness, and with the mouth confessed for salvation. Confessing with the mouth, that's like taking the lamb into the house. But the believing in your heart, that's a much more difficult part. Because we know that when men can say many things that they don't believe. But to believe something, we have to get to know it, right? If you don't know something, it's really hard to believe something. For those who believe in science, it's normally because they understand the science. For those who don't understand the science, it's very difficult for them to understand or to accept what they're being told about science. There are some things that we believe in that we don't understand. But then there are other things they just refuse. There are some people who just refuse to believe because they can't understand the science or the workings of it. Regardless of how smart someone says they are or the position they're in society that they've achieved, they still find some things hard to understand and accept. There are those that find it hard to believe in salvation through the blood of the Lamb because they just don't understand how it could happen, how it could work. Or because of their own intelligence, they have a different way to achieve it. We're told, live with the Lamb for 4 days. Get to know it. Get to love it. Get to accept it. These were the reasons to bring the Lamb into the house. It has to have a connection with the family and each person for the sacrifice to mean anything to them. And it's the same with Yeshua. We need to have an understanding of the importance of his life and his sacrifice, which leads us to the third thing to do with the Lamb. So far, we've picked the Lamb out. We've brought it into the house. Now we need to accept the death of the Lamb. We have to kill that Lamb. Exodus 12:7 starts those instructions. They are to take the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the crossbeam of the house. There they will eat it. They are to eat the meat that night, roasted over the fire, with matzah and with bitter herbs. They are to eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled with water, but only roasted with fire, its head with its legs and its innards. So let nothing of it remain until the morning. Whatever remains until the morning, you are to burn with fire. Also, you are to eat it this way, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You are to eat it in haste. It's Adonai's Passover. You are to do it in a very specific way. There are very specific instructions. In these 5 verses, there are at least 10 steps to do. 10 pieces of instructions. 10 commandments, you could say, on instructions from the Lord. How many times have people tried, it's happened to me, how many times have we tried to put together furniture from those flat boxes? Maybe from IKEA, or you've ordered something on the internet, and it comes in a flat box. You open it up, there are billions of pieces, and they come with instructions that are only pictures and that one little Allen key to screw in all those things together. You know, if you don't follow those instructions, it can become pretty frustrating. Yeah, it starts to look like what it's supposed to look like, but then something goes wrong, and what's this for then? And what is that? Why doesn't this look like the picture? All of a sudden, it doesn't quite stand as steadily as it should. It's all because we didn't follow the directions. Yeah, we had an idea of how it should look at the end, but there's a definite way of doing it. Accepting the end results and trying to achieve them on your own way, even if the results look similar at the end, it's not enough when it comes to salvation. Just as there are specific instructions to building the tabernacle, and it was only after Moses examined it that he saw that it was correct, then Adonai came and saw that it was correct, and I'm sure the Ruach HaKodesh looked at it, then Adonai came by his Ruach HaKodesh and filled the tabernacle. It was because they followed all the directions that they were supposed to. And it's the same thing with the Lamb and following all the directions we're supposed to, and except bringing in the Lamb and then killing it and doing what we're supposed to do with the blood. So now we're up to our fourth step. So far we've brought the Lamb in. We got to know the Lamb. We killed the Lamb. We need to accept the blood of the Lamb for our salvation. What did the people of Israel have to do? The people of there, when they were still waiting for the angel of death to pass over, before that angel of death passed over, they had to take the blood and put it on the doorposts and the lintel of the house. So let's read Exodus 12:12. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. I am Adonai. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So there will be no plague among you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day is to be a memorial for you. You are to keep it as a feast to Adonai. Throughout your generations, you are to keep it as an eternal ordinance. We are told to apply the blood and live by it, not just by acting it, but by knowing in faith that its blood saves. Allow me to paraphrase a saying. He who trusts in the blood of the Paschal Lamb has life. He who does not obey the instructions will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. I say this is the truth. For anyone who did not place the blood on the doorposts of the house would be visited by the angel of death. All of the Israelites did it, and even some of the others who were living in the land of Egypt at the time did, and they did not see death. But those who did not had the wrath of God upon them and upon their house. The original saying that I paraphrased, some of you may have recognized. It's from the third chapter of John. And it was written in John to let those who heard the words of Yeshua know that it was important to follow Messiah, to come into the presence of Adonai. So let me read John 3:35 with you. The Father loves the Son and has given everything into his hand. He who trusts in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. And it is just as important today to know and follow the directions of Adonai in order to have that relationship with him, because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for relationship with Adonai. We're not looking for religion. We're looking for relationship. Even now, during this time of Passover, there are instructions to follow. It wasn't just enough to accept. It's not enough to accept and trust. We must accept, trust, and obey or follow the directions as given. In Hebrews 11:28, we're told about Moses and the Passover a little bit further. Hebrews 11:28 says, by faith he kept the Passover and the smearing of the blood so the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch them. It's the same faith that was required in Egypt by the Jewish people to survive the night while the angel of death was going throughout all of Egypt, that is required by all men today. It's the same blood that was required during the Passover on the doors of the people that's required on the hearts of men today. Messiah Yeshua died for all men. He was buried and rose again. Although buried, we know that the tomb he was placed in was found to be empty. He lives for all eternity. And the reason that it had to happen just the way it did is found in the Old Covenant and retold in Hebrews 7. So let's read Hebrews 7:24 together, a couple of verses after that. But on the other hand, the one who does remain forever has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save completely those who draw near to God through him, always living to make intercession for them. For such a Kohen Gadol, grand priest, was fitting for us, holy, guiltless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need to offer up sacrifices day by day like those other Kohen Gadolim, first for their own sins, then for the sins of the people. For when he offered up himself, he did this once for all. Messiah Yeshua is the one who rose to prove that he is forever alive and the permanent priest. He offers up the sacrifice to make intercession for the sins of men that separate us from Adonai. He is also the sacrifice that is the permanent sin offering. Because he is the permanent priest making the permanent offering, we no longer require to make offerings every day for our sins. But we are required to take the four steps of the Passover lamb. You are required to accept Yeshua as the sacrifice. You do need to have a personal relationship to know him and his word, which is Torah, and place Torah in your heart. You are required to take those steps of faith in acknowledging that he was sacrificed for your sins, and that it is by his blood that you are saved for all eternity. There's not a different covenant that was made for different people. This is the same Jewish God who made the same covenant to the Jewish people. The thing called a new covenant is the new covenant made for the same people. The old, what they call the old covenant, what people want to separate the new and the old, that old covenant they say was written on stone. It's the same words now written on hearts of flesh. It's the same God with the same covenant. It's now on our hearts, on your hearts that are made of flesh. That's why we need to pray. For those who don't know Messiah Yeshua as their personal Savior yet, that's why when we have you pray, we pray, take our hearts of stone, break them up, and create in me a new heart, a heart made of flesh, that your words would be written on it for my salvation. So if you've never accepted Messiah Yeshua as your personal Savior, there's your prayer. Lord, take my stony heart, break it up, create in me a new heart of flesh, that I may have your Torah within me, that I may follow you wholeheartedly. Amen. Amen. There is good news to everybody. And that good news starts all the way back in the Old Covenant and travels all the way forward to the New Covenant. It's not two covenants for two different people. It's one covenant for all people. Does that mean that we become all the same? No. We are still Jew and Gentile. We're still male and female. It says in the word that there will be no male and female. But we're still male and female. Therefore, we are still Jew and Gentile. We each have our own part to play in the body of Messiah. Don't be thrown by that. It's the absolute truth. So, Father, we thank you for your word. Because your word tells us the instructions on how to walk with you. So we just thank you that you've made yourself known to all your people. We thank you that you've given us the ability to walk out the instructions. Because you offered up yourself and then sent the Ruach HaKodesh to help us walk out those instructions. On our own, we would not be able to do it. Joined with you, we can do all things through Messiah Yeshua. So we thank you for your mercy, your love, and your grace. We thank you for this season. We thank you that Messiah rose. That even as this weekend, many will celebrate what's called Easter, I call Resurrection Day. That it's by the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua that you guaranteed that we all shall rise again. It was proof, it was a deposit that all of us shall rise again to be at your throne. We thank you that we're not left out in the dark, worried about how's it going to happen? Is it going to happen? We've seen it happen. We've heard it happen. We know it's happened. We know it will happen again to those who trust in you. Oh, thank you, Father God, that you are a trustworthy God, that your words are always yes and amen. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.